Joining us now on the line is a very good friend of the program, Randy Mell, the golf writer for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. He has been down at Doral all week long covering the CA Championship. He will be down there. He is down there again today getting ready to cover the abbreviated third round, which will get going again this morning in just about 8 minutes. Randy, good morning to you. Happy Easter, and thanks for spending a couple of minutes.
Hey, Russ. Happy to be with you.
Well, we are always excited to have you on the show, Randy, because you are such a wealth of knowledge relative to golf, especially golf here in South Florida. And through 2.5 rounds, through 47 holes for the final grouping of Tiger, Jeff Ogilvie, and Adam Scott. I'm curious your thoughts on the tournament so far. It was somewhat bizarre yesterday to see Tiger Woods as almost the odd man out in that final threesome, where Scott and Ogilvie really had some good karma, some good chemistry going, scoring well, and Tiger, even par through 11, pars all three of the par fives he played yesterday.
Yeah, he just was spinning his wheel, and it really seemed like the Australian pairing really helped those guys. You know, Adam Scott and Jeff Ogilvie are such good friends, and you know, I think there's a comfort level, and maybe it takes a tag team to take Tiger down, and those guys got that working for him. But you just know that Tiger's going to make it interesting. If he doesn't win it, he's going to be there.
Randy, Russ and I both talked about this. I think this break, and a lot of times analysts and TV guys or even newspaper guys will say, oh, this situation couldn't have helped Tiger more, whether it be, you know, playing in the morning instead of the afternoon or something. But in this case, I really do believe with the way he was putting and the way that Tiger is able to make adjustments, this break, this rain delay, rain suspension, couldn't have come at a better time for him and at a worse time for these other guys, not just Adam Scott or Ogilvie, but anybody else pursuing Tiger, who I still view as the leader, really, only three shots back. Is this break as beneficial as I believe it is to Tiger solely and really not to the benefit of anybody else?
Yes. Adam Scott said as much yesterday afterward. It was like, you know, he wanted to keep going because he knew that they had Tiger in a certain situation. And you're right. I mean, and Tiger is the great fixer in golf. And that's the thing that you see right now is when, and Tiger's talked about this earlier this week, how when things are off in his swing or whatever, he really feels like he's able to fix it more quickly now. So, you know, he's going to work that out.
Russ Evans and Pat Rooney Jr. with you, Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic on ESPN Radio 760, joined on the line by Randy Mell, the golf writer for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. The third round of the CA Championship at Doral about to commence in about 5 minutes from now. Tiger, Jeff Ogilvie, and Adam Scott teeing off at the par 5 12th hole. Meanwhile, Vijay Singh, a 7-footer for birdie at the 17th. That would put him at 9 under on his third round and 12 under overall. And Randy, I'm really impressed with Jeff Ogilvie. I've been impressed with him for a number of years now, especially when he finally broke through for his first major victory at the 06 U.S. Open. But his comments regarding playing with Tiger, you know, sound a lot different than most guys. I mean, I'll just give you an example. He said, quote, "We're all impressed with Tiger. Hopefully none of us are scared, though. I'm not scared. I just want to win golf tournaments. He's very impressive, but I don't go to bed thinking about him," end quote. You know, Jeff Ogilvie seems to me to have the perfect demeanor to you know, play well in a pairing with Tiger Woods. We saw it yesterday. Yes, we realized he was paired with his good friend Adam Scott, and that probably helped as well. But for me, as far as I'm concerned, Jeff Ogilvie through 47 holes has been the best player this week.
Yeah, and Jeff had some experience with Tiger. I remember watching them at Medina at the PGA Championship when he had the Phil Mickelson, Jeff Ogilvie, Tiger Woods pairing. And Jeff played very well, and he handled it well, and he looked like he actually relished it. And I just remember how well he played with those guys. So, you know, I think that's helpful when you get in a situation like this.
Randy, going back to Tiger a little bit, you know, on this great streak that he's on, and I think this might be the last time he plays until the Masters. I don't know if there's another.
It will be.
So it's going to be the last one. So let's assume he comes back and wins this thing, and then something happens in the Masters and he doesn't win that. How much of a disappointment is that, not only to him, but to sort of everybody that's watching him this year and you know, sees how in tune he is with his stroke and everything else, and almost comparable to 2000, which I never thought was possible. But if he isn't able to win, like, the Masters or the U.S. Open or all four of them this year, how disappointing is that going to be, not just for Tiger, but the rest of us watching him?
Oh, yeah, it'll be deflating. It's like the air's out. But, I think it'll be more so for the rest of us because Tiger, you know, that's the one thing about Tiger is there's no way I can see him coming out as next time out and not being as intense, because that's the thing about him. If you watch him, it's just he never gives you less than his best, and it's the thing I most like about Tiger Woods. You can watch John Daly just quit all the time, and Tiger never does. You know, he'll take his little time off to get refreshed, and he'll be absolutely intense. I think that's why we saw him upset about the greens at the Arnold Palmer Invitational last week, and why he was so upset about that three-putt at the end of the first round. He just really wants this streak to keep going and wants to win so badly.
Russ Evans and Pat Roney Jr. with you, Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic on ESPN Radio 760, joined on the line by Randy Mell, the golf writer for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. And Randy, I think most of us would figure that somebody in that final threesome is going to win this tournament. 25 holes left for those three players, Adam Scott, Jeff Ogilvy, and Tiger Woods. And right now they're 1-2-3 on the leaderboard, Woods third in a tie with Tim Clark and Vijay Singh. Vijay, the hottest player right now for the third round, 8-under through 16 holes. He's got that 7-footer for birdie at 17 to put him 9-under on the third round, 12-under overall. If it's not Ogilvy, Scott, or Woods, who of the other pursuers, maybe a Jim Furyk, a Vijay Singh, a Tim Clark, possibly a Retief Goosen or a KJ Choi, who do you maybe have your eye on there a couple shots back?
Well, you do have to watch Vijay. He's just he's been right there this year, and he's had some disappointments. You know, he's working out some things in his new swing. He had that terrible disappointment at Pebble Beach where he bogeyed, I think, three of the last four or five holes and ended up losing to Lowry. So I think he's pretty determined to get himself right back in there. So you have to watch Vijay to see what, you know, if he's fixed whatever it was that failed him there. And, you know, Tim Clark is another one of Dr. Preston Waddington's patients, a psychoanalyst in Fort Lauderdale. And it was funny because I was talking to Doc Waddington this week, and he said, watch out for Tim Clark. He's just, if his putter's working, he's going to be dangerous. And it's funny because you wouldn't expect Tim to win here because he's not the longest hitter.
Hey, Randy, you did an article today in the Sun Sentinel on Dennis Watson, a guy who, I'm not even trying to compare him to Tiger Woods, but had a huge amount of talent when he was younger and then had some injury problems. It just goes to show how many variables are out there in golf that can derail a great career. But you mentioned in the article he's out there with his son watching Tiger Woods. Can you tell the audience a little bit something about a guy like Dennis Watson that they might not know and the type of player he was and really trying to get some of that back on the Champions Tour playing now?
Yeah, you know, he's going to receive the Ben Hogan Award at the Golf Writers Association of America dinner in about 3 weeks at the Masters. And basically that's from overcoming the physical ailments that had, that he's endured. He's had like 9 surgeries through his career. And the thing that was sad is that here's a guy who just loves hitting golf balls. I was sitting at Coral Ridge, and he's just, you know, he just loves to hit a golf ball. And the thing he loved so much brought him so much pain, it was like a curse. So to be able to see him pain-free playing, I think, makes a lot of his friends happy. And he certainly, his family's very involved with golf. It was so funny to watch his little one just tugging at him, going, Dad, let's go hit. You know, they're watching Tiger. He goes, Dad, I want to hit balls. This is a 6-year-old. I want to hit balls. So it was funny to watch him.
He wanted to hit balls before he went to the toy store, Randy, right?
Yeah, that was the thing we were laughing about. You know, what 6-year-old wants to do that? Dennis was laughing about that.
I find it interesting that Dennis Watson, a world-class golfer, has won many times on the Champions Tour. Obviously a guy who's one of the best in his profession, but yet he is in awe of Tiger Woods, just like a lot of other of us that can't hit a ball nearly as well as a Dennis Watson or a Suzanne Pedersen, who was up in Orlando last week following Tiger Woods at Bay Hill. So, you know, Tiger Woods is the star among stars. He really draws the attention from the regular guy like me and you and Pat and also the world-class golfer. We're all in awe of Tiger Woods and the amazing way that he performs. And now they're back on the course. It is 8:31 in the morning, so the players are now back on the course at Doral, commencing that rain-interrupted third round. The final group of Jeff Ogilvy, Adam Scott, and Tiger Woods taking the tee on the par 5 12th. And, Randy, I'm going to put your feet to the fire. What happens in the final 25 holes, and who ends up winning this?
You know, it seems almost too easy to pick Tiger Woods, but there's You know, and then I see Ogilvy and Scott in that pairing helping them, but I think you guys hit it right. I think that break ultimately helps Tiger, and I can just see Tiger putting together a run here. You know, the thing is, I think it helps Tiger if the wind picks up here because it really looked like a shootout yesterday where it was a putting contest, and Tiger's putting wasn't working, but if the wind starts blowing, Tiger's in good control of his golf ball, and he'll start to be able to separate himself if the wind kicks up.
Yeah, Tiger took 20 putts through 11 holes. Meanwhile, on the day before, in the second round Friday, he had 26 putts for the entire round. So you're exactly right. The flat stick was the club in his bag that let him down yesterday. But he is the best in the world at making adjustments, and I am of the opinion that he will make the needed adjustments today. And 25 holes left between him and his sixth straight PGA Tour victory, and I think a little foreshadowing here, Pat, for our Palm Beach Country Club Fearless Prediction segment. I might be taking Eldrick Tiger Woods later on today during the show. Our good buddy Randy Mels, golf writer for the South Florida Sun Sentinel, always kind to join us on the show and spend some time with us. Randy, thank you very much, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, Russ, Pat, thanks for having me.
There he is, Randy Mell, one of the great guys in this business, a world-class golf writer for the South Florida Sun Sentinel, joining us here on the line. Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic on ESPN Radio 760.